Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Awesome. So we are busy with Titus, continuing in Titus. And this morning our theme is to stand firm and shine bright. And I always like to just give a bit of what we have said and what we are going to say today. Because it's very beautiful for me how Paul wrote this letter. He started off in Titus 1, if you can remember, but he started off that he was an apostle of Christ, amen. But then he said the qualification of elders. He spoke about, you know, understanding the truth will accord with godliness. Pulling this line, that sound doctrine, when we believe sound doctrine, it will inevitably flow out into sound living. Are you with me? We will have a way in which we live out the gospel. Amen. When we adopt the ways that Jesus brought through redemption. Because all of us, we've been influenced by the fall. Amen. Creation, beautiful. The fall happened. We've adopted many false truths, as Carl shared this morning. And then Jesus came. And we have the word, you know, to rely on. And that is what he said mostly in chapter 1, focusing a lot on the church. A lot on the church. Secondly, he went into chapter 2 and he moved to the home and he moved to individuals. All of us remember younger men, you know, older men, younger women, bond servants, and he spoke specifically, and then he ended off with this beautiful doctrine of grace. Amen. You remember that, which Vian so beautifully preached the last two sermons, and that we need his grace. Amen. It is a present. It is a gift. Nothing that we can do, but out of just receiving, we can now live a life unto Christ. Amen. And then it goes over into... So the second one was about the home and about the individual. And then chapter 3 starts to focus on outwardly. Going outwardly to shine bright to a world that is dark. Amen. And that is beautiful. That makes me excited. I'm like, okay, ek wil weet hoe. I want to know how to do this, you know, how to go and shine a light. And if you ever wonder, just go and read through these two verses. It's only two verses. And when we think of shining a light, we need to remember that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And that's really important. We are in this world. It's a sinful world. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy to shine a light. But we are called to shine this light and to stand firm in the faith. You know, because the fall, as I was saying, has inevitably, you know, blurred the truth. You know, we all were raised in homes. And although we may have been raised in homes that were Christian and were good, it was not perfect. It was not perfect. Amen. And maybe the idea or the picture that we have of how it looks like to shine a light, you know, does not really align with what the Word of God says. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, we need to evaluate, you know, the things in our hearts. What about what you are saying is counter to what I believe? Amen. And to surrender our will unto His, and to ask the Lord, how does he want to grow us? Amen. So when Paul wrote these two verses, let's read the two verses, yeah, that you can understand what I'm speaking of, and then we'll read it again. I'm going to continue in my little intro, but let's go and read these two verses so that you can understand. Paul's saying, he's starting with saying to Titus, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Okay, we see where this is going. Amen. Just speaking about government, your boss, all those types of things. To be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, that's to debate and to fight, to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy to all people. So what Paul has in mind when he writes this is he really cares about the church, amen, and he really cares about how we shine a light. So his concern is about the church's witness in a dark world, amen. How do I live a life when I'm not at home and when I'm not at church, amen? How do I shine a light? How do I tell people about it? You know, our thoughts can even go, yes, we need to share the word of God. Yes, amen. We need to share the word of God where it's applicable. But we need to live a life that shines a light. Amen. And what Paul is saying here in these two verses is basically compacting a Christian life in a dark world. And we'll explain it, obviously. But there's an increasingly oppression in the world. You know, if you want to do the right thing, it becomes oppressed. Amen. We want to take shortcuts. We want to, you know, go around what the government is saying, you know, and try to do the things that we want to do. Amen. But it's not easy, especially if you're under a sinful government. Amen. Or sinful boss. And they are all sinful and they all make mistakes. But it's obviously increasingly difficult if they are not good. Amen. I'm not saying ours are not good. I don't read the news a lot. But they obviously can always be better and they can always be better governments. But it's our attitude towards shining a light. Amen. Towards being a witness for Jesus. So how do people, you know, the question, how do people share the gospel in a world that mocks the Lord? That mocks the Lord and His people. I mean, we witness to them. The changed lives of believers will provide the platform for you to share the word of God. Are you with me? When it goes difficult in people's lives, they need to know who to go to. They need to go to you. They need to come to you and say, you look like you always positive. It looks like you always have it together. And then you can tell them, no, I don't. But I know a guy. His name is Jesus. Amen. That gives us the platform for shining a light. Being reminded definitely of God's grace. You know, these two sermons before this one, it sets the plane in the air. Being reminded of God's grace that changed us will motivate us to show His grace to others. Amen. Through our good deeds. So let's read these verses again, and then we'll go through it slowly. It says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. So when I read this, I saw three things. The first thing was submission. The second thing was obedience. And the third one I like to call like preparation or to be ready for good works. Are you with me? So there's those three things. And we can ask ourselves, you know, under who should I submit? Under who should I be obedient and to whom should I prepare or to do good works? And that is going to be different for every one of us. But there is some things that are the same. I mean, the government, we should submit under them. If you have a boss at work. And of course, people like, you know, public officials. You know, the traffic cop, the policeman. They have a certain authority. And then, of course, it always also moves to the public. Amen. To everyone that we encounter on a day-to-day life. And it is often, like I said, not easy, especially if the traffic cop wants a bribe. It's not easy. I mean, we're not saying it's easy, but that's what God is calling us for. And there will be some sort of suffering. There may be some sort of suffering or some sort of pain if we don't always do what they say. Because obviously what the Word of God says is we should obey God rather than men. So when these officials want you to do something that's not from the Lord, like bribing, we say what Peter say in Acts 5. We should obey God rather than men. And we can see, you know, what his decisions led to. He was killed for the gospel. Amen. So they may be suffering, 100%. I think we spoke about it last year quite a lot. There was a few sermons about suffering and suffering for Christ. But here in these verses, it stays the public duty of a Christian. Amen. Now let's start by the first thing. There's seven things Paul mentions to us today. So he mentions these three things, but then he says seven separate things. The first thing is remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. And every one of us, we have some sense of an authority, like I mentioned. But God's cure, I'm going to say it again, for this world is to bear his light. Amen. In this dark world. And that's how people will see that you are a son of God. Amen. That is how people will see that you are his disciples. We see that in John 13, verse 35. It's not on the board, but it says this: by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Amen. When you love your neighbor, they will see that you are a child of God. Amen. And that's where they will come to you. And obviously this other verse that just supports these verses is 1 Peter 2, verse 13 to 17. You can throw it on the board there. It says, you can read with me, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. That's important. By doing good. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And honor the emperor. Okay. Not always the easiest verses to hear. Amen. But it is important. This is what God says. He put authority in place for us to submit under them. And if they don't say, do something that's directly against the word of God, we honor what they say. We do what they say. And Paul did not say, you know, he did not make exceptions for a corrupt government. You know, he was under a really godless guy, Nero, the emperor. And that he was a very nasty emperor that had a lot of bribery, that there was a lot of corruption. And he said, he did not say that the government need to be free for corruption for us to submit under them. He said, submit under them. Okay. The second point we get, okay, I just want to also add to the first point, sorry. So the first point, be subject to the government. We may voice our disagreements. Amen. We are not Christians, and because we are Christians, almal mag oor ons loop nie. That's not what Christianity is about. We raise our voice, we say, we fight for the things, and we may even vote off corrupt leaders. Amen? 100%. But be careful to go and start a rebellion of a groot optog. You know, if God leads you to do an unarmed one, or a peaceful one, maybe, if you are really led by the Spirit to do that. That is within your law. But yeah, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Amen. Okay, then the second point is to be obedient. We saw we need to be subject to authorities, and then it says we should be obedient. So Paul is not specifying the subject of obedience, but we can see the general context is about obeying government and rulers and authorities. And the simple question that I'd like to ask us, which sounds very simple but is quite deep, is do you break any laws? Do you break any laws? Maybe just take a half minute and just think about that. I'm going to maybe give you some clues But if you are at work, do you steal time? Do you steal small things? Do you break any laws? It sounds really easy, but it's not that easy. Do you break a law when you drive? Ish. This is not makkelijk nie. It's not that easy. But let the Holy Spirit guide you. Amen. And please be obedient. If there's something that he lays on your heart today, just do it. Just be obedient. Amen. Write it down. If you are, you know, do you always act ethically? It's not an easy one as well. Do you always act ethically towards everyone? Do you treat everyone the same? It's not necessarily breaking a law, but it's definitely close. Amen. And if you do, and if you break a law, just repent of it. I mean, God wants us, He does not want us to break laws. Amen. I think of this, you know, we can also have the right heart. You know, there's things like an abortion clinic. You know, often we might think it's wrong and we should end it. But it will be a really big sin to go and bomb an abortion clinic, for instance. Amen. So also to ask the Lord, how does it look like? Like I said, a peaceful protest, maybe. And you may raise your voice. You may share the gospel with those people. But ask the Lord, how does it look like also to stand up for what is right? Amen. Okay, then we go to point number 3. It says to be ready for every good work. To be obedient, and then it says to be ready for every good work. So you won't break any laws if you sit on your couch all day. Amen? But you won't be doing any good. Are you with me? So there's both of these things. Okay, so Paul wants us to be obedient towards the government, but he also wants us to do good things. Amen. And these good things may refer to any work done in obedience with Christ, your gifting, maybe your gifting. Amen. Do good things. I always ask myself the question, where do I have a hand in the community? Because this is the context. I mean, where can I do a good work in the community? And luckily for me, I own a business, so I get a lot to do with a lot of things. I also cycle, so I see a lot of people. I'm just giving you ideas. But what I thought of is, you know, coaching your children's sports teams. You have a hand in the community. Amen. Thinking of helping with community projects. You can speak to Renier if you want to, but they are cleaning the duck pond of that Jacinten, eh? Having a hand in the community. You meet a lot of people. You see new people. You see new faces. You build new relationships. This is what God wants us to do, to be ready for good work. Christians must be a constructive force in society. Amen? We must live for the welfare of the city. It is so beautiful, you know, there was people in the Old Testament, I think it was the Amorites, I'm not sure, but they took Judah to exile into Babylon. Amen. And what God told them actually was really interesting for me. He told them, seek the welfare of that city. The godless people. Amen. God's telling them through Jeremiah, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in their welfare you will have welfare. That's God's heart, that we pray for our government. Pray for Secunda. You are here for a reason. Amen. Let's make a change. Amen. This is God's heart. In Secunda's welfare, you will have welfare. Pray on its behalf to me, because it will go well. It will go better. Amen. Care about the place where you are living. to be prepared and willing to participate in the community and in activities. Amen. It's quite a practical sermon today. But I want you to think and write down if there's things coming to mind. School activities, youth sports, local community events. Matthew 5, that's the verse we are speaking about today. Matthew 5 verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before others." This is interesting what it says after this. It says that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow. Praise the Here. If we can do good things so that He be glorified, amen. Let's do it. So that they see your good deeds, so that we can glorify your Father in heaven. Because when they see you do good, they will ask, you know, hey, who comes here? And then we have a platform. We have a platform to share. I'm not saying start with a verse, but I mean, we can share. We can share our hearts. We can share our conviction. And that stirs people. That glorifies Jesus. Let's live out our faith by being active. Amen. Okay. Point number 4. It says, do not slander or speak evil of others. I think the ESV says, do not speak evil of anyone. And here we are again, you know, looking at slander. Okay, it does, although it says anyone, so we should not speak evil of anyone. But obviously this is, once again, in context of our authorities. Amen. And therefore, just a simple question I like to ask is are you bringing a positivity towards our country and our government? Or do you bring a negativity when you speak to people? Okay, dis 'n moeilike een, hè? Do you bring a positivity or do you bring a negativity? Going and slandering the office of the president or the traffic cop is really not what God expects of us. Even your boss, it brings disunity. It's alarming for me how many times Paul uses slander in these bunches of Titus. It was like 4 times already, I'm guessing. But it brings disunity. Whether it's the country, whether it's your company, whether it's the church. Speaking evil of other people brings disunity, and it's really helping the devil in building his kingdom. Amen. If we have something against someone, it's very simple. We follow Matthew 18. We go to them and we say to them, listen, I see this thing in your life. Amen. I just wanted to think, you know, if we may not slander, or let's say everyone applies this rule to social media, there won't be, half of social media will be gone. Amen. Of how many times we like to slander people, not us necessarily, but how many bad things we see on social media and the news. And I want to say it's right, it's correct, it's fine, it's good to hate the wrong things. It's good to hate the sin, amen? But it's wrong to spread hatefulness about the person or the company or whatever it may be. Okay, it's important. We want to shine the light. We want to bring a positivity. We want to be the ones that see the solution, amen? Even us that are in school, the younger ones, you know, praat van jou juffrou, nee? Or to always speak good about them, to have a good influence in school and in our company. Okay, we're at point number 5. Just 5, 6, and 7 left. Okay, so it says be peaceable. And peaceable is actually a beautiful word. It says in the ESV, avoid quarreling. Okay, avoid quarreling, that's the scripture. My point is to be peaceable. Because peaceable is a bit more easy to understand. Quarreling is to debate and to fight. And it's really interesting. The Greek word is amacho. Who of you know what macho means? Ranier does this. It's a macho man, eh? You know, trying to prove that no one can shove me around. You know, I'm actually contentious. I want a content. I want to fight. Will you fight? Eh? I almost think of, you know, this Afrikaans guys that Vian always say, he doesn't get angry, he is angry. Hy word nie kwaad, hy is kwaad. And this is not what we should be doing. Avoid quarreling. Amen. We should be peaceable. We should be easy. If we have a difference with someone, let's say there's a situation where we differ about it, try to understand. Try to understand. There's a good book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and one point is try to understand before you want to be understood. Amen. Try to understand the other person's view. It's important for me in my household. Otherwise, I also struggle. I want to understand, okay, what will you, what do you? Amen. And this is really important when we deal with the outside people. Amen. Okay. So be peaceable. Dit moet lekker wees om jou te wees. Ek het dit net uitgedink, dis nie hier nie. Okay. Okay, then we have point number 6. It says be gentle. And it almost ties for me in with be peaceable. But it is a different word. It's a different Greek word as well. It is more the way in which you differ. The way in which you handle conflict. Amen. It's easy to be gentle if we all agree. Amen. Then it's nice. But it's not that nice if we disagree. So how do we disagree in a good way? We are gentle. Amen. We differ in a gentle way. Are you someone that handles conflict in a gentle way? Amen. Because you can cause so much damage to an unbeliever if you are harsh. Amen. They don't want to be your redder. They don't want to know anything about your Savior if you handle them harshly. You can try to witness to them all day long. If you have a difference with someone or a situation where there was conflict and you handled the situation wrongly and harshly, they don't want to know. Obviously, praise the Lord, we can go and say we are sorry. We can go and repent. Listen, I did not do what I was supposed to do. I handled this conflict situation really harshly and I'm really sorry. This is not what God expects of me and I want to ask for your apology. Definitely, that is the right thing to do if you messed up. I mean, but it is so important. If we want to shine a light to people, we have to put the pride away. Amen. And even be willing to lose the fight, but to save a soul, maybe for a later time. Amen? Okay, so to be gentle. And our last point is to be considerate towards others. Being considerate. These last three points is so close together, but they do say different things. This consideration is almost translated, or a lot of the times it's translated to meekness. Who of you know what meekness means? It's an interesting word, right? Oh, it can also be translated to gentleness, but it's not a good translation. But it almost means to have strength under control. The same word is used when they break a horse. Who of you know what it means to break a horse? You know, when they are wild, you need to break them, to ride them. Amen? So it's to have them under control. Under control of what? We need to be under control of the Holy Spirit. So when we are considerate to other people, we listen to what the Word of God says, we listen to what the Spirit says, and how, you know, we should treat this person. A lot of times when I speak to people, the Holy Spirit prompts me and shows me, you know, how to deal with this situation. Amen. Being considerate. Now, another translation that I like to use, or something that will help, is it's the opposite of selfishness. To being considerate to other people and to show perfect courtesy towards all people is the opposite of selfishness. I mean, it's I think of you before I think of myself. And I think practically, how I like to ask myself, is this what I'm doing? Is when there's someone that I encounter that cannot do anything for me. I cannot benefit from whatever is going on here. Then I test my consideration. Do I really consider this person? Do I really listen? Do I really help? Because I cannot benefit from this. Are you with me? So a nice application is when there's a homeless guy coming to knock on your door. It's the most challenging thing for me. Especially when I'm really tired and I need to get in the house because I can hear the kids screaming and there's someone that wants something at the gate. You know, it tests me really. And I need to say, and God is really growing me in this, but I need to go there and I need to share with them the grace that I have received. So that we can, I'm not starting with a Bible verse. I'm obviously asking him, what can I help you with? And I need to be more obedient, but I think this applies to every one of us. It's not easy. I mean, to be considerate. I think of a waiter, you know, coming to a table. You know, you go to a restaurant, you pay a lot of money to be served. It's actually the opposite of what Jesus is calling us, né? To be served. And how do we treat someone that does not serve you well in a restaurant? How do you treat the waiter if they make a mistake? Because that waiter, that homeless person, they need Jesus. Amen. We need to shine a light. God is calling us. Now, how can we shine a light to the waiter in Spur? We can. We can. Let's do it. Amen. This shows humility instead of a pridefulness. So, you know, to end off for us, how does it look like? How does your witnessing look like? How does it look like when you are entering the outside world? This is what Paul is saying. He's really concerned about the church's witness to lost people. Amen. And I want us to look at these just two points that is on the board. It asks the question, how's it going with your submission and obedience to authorities? That's to the government. Amen. And to your boss. And to ask that question, do you break any laws? Really important. And then the second question is, are you obedient and willing to serve the public? I mean, and then there's those two prayer points which I want us just to pray in. Pray for one another, for hearts, submit easily and obeys the authorities and pray for them. I mean, let's pray for Secunda, I mean. Let's just take a time or a sentence and pray for Secunda this morning. And then pray for a willingness to build, serve, and support the community. And ask the Lord, where can I be an influencer in the community? Amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes. I'm going to pray for us. If you need prayer, you're welcome to come to the front. If I can ask just a few small group leaders as I'm praying, just come and join me in the front. If you need prayer, come to the front and just pray with someone. If there's one thing that God laid on your heart, let's just pray with someone. So let's close our eyes. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we can be part of your church. We thank you. It is such a privilege, Lord, to be able to shine your light. It is such a privilege, Lord, that we can come, Lord, and show people the grace that we have received, Lord. Show people the love that you have given us, Lord. I want to ask you this morning to lead our thoughts, Lord, to lead us, to show us, Lord, where our houses are not built, Lord, 100% on the rock. And there's still parts on the sand, Lord, where we've learned ways, Lord, or have been taught ways, Lord, how to act towards government or act toward our boss, Lord. That's not from you, Lord. I just want you to show us, Lord, so that we can surrender that, Lord. Now we thank you for your cross. We thank you for community, Lord, and we thank you for sanctification. In Jesus' name, amen. As you are there, just please pray with someone. I'll be here in front. There will be a few people here in front with me. Please come and pray with someone. And then after that, you may go and enjoy your soup.